Would you please open up to Judges chapter 7? We're just going to read chapter 7. Earlier this morning, we heard about works versus faith. That's what I meant to say. And the law versus the promise tonight. And Judges will look at your strength versus God's strength. With God's strength, which one ought to be exalted? So look at Judges chapter 7. And we will read the entire chapter. This is God's holy and infallible word. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites, and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets. and break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zerath, and to the border of Abel Mahelah and Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbarah and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbarah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Supposedly all men are born with a man card. It might have a decorative mustache on it, I don't know. Are you a man card holder? Well, ask yourself some test questions. First, have you ever ditched your friends? Second, would you prefer Labor Day shopping or a mud run? Third, do you treat women and children with disrespect? You definitely have to lose your man card. You can't treat them like Isa. Lastly, are you knowledgeable and prepared for the zombie apocalypse? Now, depending upon your answer, you may or may not be in good standing. This is just a humorous way to have some fun illustrating the truth in the text. Namely, man exalts his own strength. The real issue set down for us here in Judges is a choice between the exalted strength of God or the pretended strength of man. You see, in Judges, the people of God are in great need of deliverance from the hordes of the enemy. And once again, they need deliverance. It's a cycle. As often as the people of God look to themselves for strength, they are abandoned to discover their fake and fragile so-called strength. Now, the people of God today also need to learn this lesson. We too want to embellish our own credentials. On the other hand, here in Judges chapter 7, we see that the strength of God delivers His people through unlikely poor instruments. Consequently, the strength of God is exalted, and all people are obligated to depend on the Lord for deliverance in place of fake and fragile so-called strength. I want to look at that. The first thing, fake strength. What is fake strength? How does the Lord God exalt His strength here in Judges? Well, in order to teach self-reliant Israel to acknowledge their total inability and total dependence upon God, their fake strength must be brought to light. The Lord unfolds this issue by exalting God's hand. It's a couple words that are repeated several times throughout this chapter, and sacrificing a sacred cow. Now let's look at that. Real strength and phony strength. In verse 2 and in verse 14, you can see vaunted strength and God's strength. First, look at what is said in verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands." Now what's going on here? This is counterintuitive to man's philosophy of strength. Warring man lusts for bigger militaries and more equipment and more men than the enemy in order to conquer. That makes sense, right? They got 10,000, we need 10,001. That's how we win this battle. This is counterintuitive. But God basically says that Gideon needs real strength not found in those things, in the numbers of men. Where is real strength found? I invite you again to look at what the Lord says next. He says, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, given the opportunity to boast, man would. So God takes away that desire, that wish to exalt themselves against the only wise God. That was the first thing. The second thing, real strength is only found in the power and might of God. In fact, a pagan confesses this in verse 14. Scripture says, this is what the man says, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. A pagan willing to acknowledge the exalted strength of God. If a foreigner to the promises and covenants of God knows this strength of God, ought not the people of God have greater confidence and knowledge of the exalted strength of the Lord? Now, where do we see phony strength here in the text? Now, there are at least three indicators of phony strength. You're going to have to pay attention. Scripture says, and Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod. Now, what's the name of this? Did you catch the name of this well? The word Harod means trembling. So this is the well of trembling. It's a little subtle hint of what's going on in the camp. This is the first indicator. The second indicator, a question is asked to thin out the numbers of soldiers there in verse 3. Scripture says, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid. The fearful word, that's our word, Harod, trembling. Trembling. Let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. Whoever was fearful and trembling, same word, could go. And 10,000 people remained. Third, in order to see this, you are going to have to sacrifice a sacred cow called moralism. Look at verse 5. Scripture says, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. You see, there are two groups here, lappers and kneelers. Where do you see phony strength and moralism? It's not in the text. It's found by interpreters of this text. One person turns this scene into a test of courage, while another turns this into a test of competence. The ones who lap like dogs, they are competent. And another person into a posture of readiness, able to serve the Lord. I'm not kidding. I went through every commentary that I had, and I had a whole long list, too many, too numerous to place here. They all did this. The problem with this is that there's no basis for this in the text, and therefore it's phony. It's phony to find some merit, some worthiness in their posture of lapping water or whatever they're doing. If anything, the remaining 300 men are compared to dogs, a scriptural term of contempt. And so now you see what's going on here. The 22,000, the 10,000, the 300 are not needed. And this seems to be a better fit, seeing that God is exalting His strength and not the strength of a dog, not man's strength. Beloved of God, it's clear from the text that God must be exalted in His strength. However, the people of God do at least two things. First, they read into the Bible some ability attributed to man. And what happens? The clear message of the gospel is obscured. Second, the people of God steal the glory due to the exalted strength of God with their fake so-called strength. Now, where do we see this battle? Well, in one 16th century confession, it says this, quote, "Although human nature was seriously affected by the fall, man has not been left in a state of total spiritual helplessness," end quote. On the other hand, Psalm 58 speaks about man's radical depravity from the womb. Verse 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Do you see? Reading moralism back into the text obscures the meaning and message to Israel and to you. Do you need the exalted strength of God in Christ? Do you bewail your sins, but do not stop committing them? Do you try to avoid, quote, "small sins," but occasionally fall into great sins? Do you sin secretly and pretend to do good publicly? Do you desire to praise God when your health is good, but despise Him when you're sick? It sounds like you are helpless in a state of spiritual death. You must give up on your phony strength and trust in real strength. God will deliver by His hand of exalted strength through the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, stood alone against the enemy hordes without our help. That's exalted strength. Praise God. Secondly, and that's it, what about fragile strength? In the next several verses, how does God continue to exalt His own strength? God gives encouragement in the face of fragile strength to believers who have unheroic strength. Gideon is not the typical church megastar. He's not like John Wayne walking into a room able to slap everybody in the head. But God is pleased to use facts for His people in the face of fear. And He also uses an ironic channel of good news. Let's look at this. Verse 9. God orders the attack against the foreign enemy. Arise. God said to Gideon, "Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand." You see, the first thing that happens is that God commands, and the second thing that happens is that God explains the victory. They are in your hand. That's terrible to be in your enemy's hand. What will they do to you? They will kill you. And that's what Gideon intends to do. God asserts a fact that He has decreed Israel's victory. Therefore, He gives the charge. Arise, go down to the camp. And the verb in the text used throughout chapter 7 is to give. It's translated deliver. I expected to see the word that we get the name Joshua, salvation. But it's the word to give. God has given. And God indeed has given. That's what's being said there in the text. Over and over, should there be any doubt, any moment of fragile faith, conviction, that God knows Gideon's lack of strength. So there in verse 10, he says, "But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the hosts." Gideon was afraid. However, God provides comfort for Gideon's unheroic strength. And then the next thing you see is the channel of strength. The channel of strength comes in at least two ways. There's an unaware prophet and an unaware witness. And then there's a poor instrument. Three ways. First, spying of Gideon pays off. Listen to what he heard in verse 13 from this unaware prophet. "And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along." The man confirms the fact that God has given them to Israel. He's an unaware prophet, a pagan prophet declaring God's word. Second, the next man is unaware witness of the strength of God. He says, Scripture says, this is nothing else. The words there are really strong in the Hebrew. This can't be anything else except for. There's no possibility, it says, that this is anything else. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. He's bearing witness to what God said while Gideon is busy spying on them because of his fragile strength. Two Midianites are the channels of confirming the word of God. Third, God uses a poor instrument to destroy the enemy, bread. But this is not an ordinary soft loaf of wheat, bread, quality wheat. This is a loaf of barley. Barley bread that you grow for times of adversity, that you grow for your horses. And if you run out of food and you're poor and afflicted, then you eat the barley. Barley was the poorest of the grains. So the impression is that God will use a very poor channel of strength to destroy the enemy, and confirms this by two other channels and two unaware Midianites. Once again, the text exalts the correct person. Gideon had fragile strength, yet God provided several channels to comfort Gideon. So what does this mean? Well, there are at least two things to consider: our stereotypes and Christ. First, our stereotypes. Dynamic, confident, adventurous, a self-starter. Those are some of the resume builders that people use today. Millennial church leaders, and so on. That's what kind of pastor we need. Dynamic, not static. Sounds like you're describing climbing rope. But that is exactly opposite of what God did in the text. There were about 20,000 people, then 10,000, finally 300, and they were all disqualified too. God gave the victory into their hands to exalt His strength, not none of theirs. All they did was blow a horn. God turned a sword on each person. Second, the channel of God's deliverance is sometimes ironic. God's word came through the enemy in the same way. Listen. The same way a murderous high priest prophesied the death of Christ as a substitutionary atonement in John chapter 11. In the same way, mocking priests and theologians declared God's salvation while Christ hung there on the cross. He saved others. Let him come down and save himself. And he is going to do that. In the same way, God confirmed the Lord's innocency through a pagan judge who declared the Lord Jesus Christ innocent three times and acknowledged that they only wanted to crucify him because they were envious of him. In the same way, God used a poor piece of bread to destroy the enemy's camp. Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven, who destroyed the enemy. Born in Bread Town, Bethlehem, called the bread of life. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, and then Christ, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. But there are some who would argue that Gideon is not keeping up his faith, and therefore in danger of losing the grace of God. That's how you're supposed to understand this story. Gideon is just supposed to try harder. This cancer is no remedy at all. On the other hand, the Word of God teaches us that if you do not have an assured confidence of faith, you're fragile. Not to be alarmed or doubt God's salvation, persevere in the strength of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The beloved of God, does He ever strengthen your fragile faith? If God did these things in the days of Judges through ironic channels of strength, how much greater should you lean on the exalted strength of God, who has ruined all our enemies by His right hand, Jesus Christ the Lord? Even the most confident and strongest person in faith has only a small beginning. They're still fragile, but God is building them and you. Please make it your earnest desire to exalt the Lord and exalt His strength. Do you need some kind of feat of strength in order to be a real man or a real woman of God? Here is your Christian card, right? What did you do? Oh, you should have seen it. Well, yes and no. You see, Judges illustrates the truth that man exalts his own strength. So, no! Yes, you need strength. You need strength from the Lord, which is what Judges teaches us, to exalt in His strength and His alone. Now, take note of this. God calls servants, not heroes. There are the heroes of the faith, but I'm using it in our modern context of everybody is dynamic and whatever. God calls servants. And every servant of God must exalt the strength of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before You. We acknowledge, Lord, that our strength is good for nothing. But we acknowledge Your strength is good for the entire Christian life. And we exalt Your strength that has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven, the true bread of life. And Lord, we do pray that You would continue to extinguish anything that is opposed to real faith, whether that's in our hearts or that's in our world today. We pray that You would establish the presence of the kingdom here today. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is exalted to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. So we have a wonderful song, hymn number 81, and for time reasons, I hope you don't mind from the purist out there, that we skip a couple of stanzas. I'd like to stand and sing stanza number 1 and stanza number 4, please. Beloved in Christ, receive now God's parting grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.